One of the joys I have of Vacation Bible School is seeing all the hard work. We've already thanked the folks that decorated this platform. What a wonderful job. And down in the classrooms, all the great decorations that have taken place. You know, I turn around and I look, and there's the theme of the journey this week means that in the classrooms there are trees that suddenly appeared this week. And there's a waterfall in one classroom. There's all kinds of things from nature, things that have been built and constructed. And I've gone to the classrooms. I'm thinking about this tree also, and I've gone in classrooms. I've seen those trees, and that's wonderful work, isn't it? And that's our work. That's your work, and that's great. It's artistic. It's creative. For those of you that it took 6 hours to do a two-hour job, good for you. But at the end of the day, you know what we all know to be true? You know what we all know to be true? Those aren't real trees, are they? Those aren't real trees. They look wonderful and they'll serve a purpose for VBS, but they're not real trees. And the reason we know they're not real trees is because we made them. The United States Supreme Court claimed this week that something that is marriage, something that's not marriage, they claim is marriage. But I'm here to tell you it's not. Because we didn't invent marriage. And I don't care how you try to fabricate it. I don't care what you point the finger at and say, we're going to call that a marriage. If God didn't call it a marriage, it's not a marriage. It's not a marriage. And believe it or not, that's not my sermon this morning. But I had to say it. I had to say it. We need to pray for our nation. This will have dramatic and resounding effects for all of us, for generations to come. But I want you to understand, that I believe the Bible, and the Bible teaches that marriage was created by God. We didn't make marriage. We didn't create it. It was created by God. It's an institution that He designed for a man and a woman for life. So if you ever wonder what I think, get the recording and play this back, and you'll know. You'll hear a little bit more from me about this in the newsletter column that'll be coming out for July and some other issues that it raises, but wanted to mention that at the forefront because I know it's on our minds. Okay? Pick up your Bible and find again the Old Testament book of Genesis and chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39, move there, but hold your place there for a moment. The Vacation Bible School verse this week is Isaiah 30, verse 21. It says this, "And whenever you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear this command behind you. This is the way, walk in it." This is the way, walk in it. Whenever God is leading us, He is talking to us, and He is showing us the way, and we are all on a great journey of life, and God is leading us through it and leading us forward in that journey of life. That dovetails so nicely with our series on Joseph that we are in. And as we continue in that series this morning, as you'll recall, the last time we were with Joseph, he had been sold into slavery, and by that taken to Egypt. His brothers themselves, to make a little money, had sold him to a band of folks moving through the desert that buy people for slavery and human trafficking and other goods, and had taken him to Egypt. So when we arrive now in chapter 39, we step back into the story, and we find there that Joseph has been sold to the household of a military and political commander named Potiphar. And Potiphar is apparently well known in his time and in his place, and he has purchased Joseph as a household slave. Now keep in mind, when we met Joseph the first time, he was 17 years old, and as the story has progressed, we haven't gone through a lot of time, so he's still 17, maybe 18 years old. The time will progress through his life in the story later, but he's still just a very young man, even a boy. So Genesis chapter 39 and verse 1, we read these words. "Now Joseph had been taken to Egypt. An Egyptian named Potiphar, had an officer of Pharaoh and captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him there. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man serving in the household of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made everything he did successful, Joseph found favor in his master's sight and became his personal attendant. Potiphar also put him in charge of his household and placed all that he owned under his authority. From the time that he put him in charge of his household and all that he owned, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house because of Joseph. The Lord's blessing was on all that he owned in his house and in his fields. He left all that he owned under Joseph's authority and did not concern himself with anything except the food that he ate. There is a thread as it runs through Joseph's life, as we've talked about it, that Joseph's life is an indication that God is at work. Even when God seems silent, God is always sovereign, and God is always at work. You couldn't imagine circumstances being worse for Joseph, could you? He started out in his homeland, his hometown, with a loving father. He was learning the trade of taking care of the flocks from his father. He had brothers who hated him, but they hated him mostly because his father loved him. Then his brothers put him in a pit in the desert while they have lunch, pull him out of the pit, and they sell him to slave traders, the Ishmaelites and Midianites, who take him to Egypt, and they sell him down there. You know, and both literally and metaphorically, he's still in the pit. It was a physical pit. Now there's Egypt is the next pit, and as we'll continue in the story in the weeks ahead, we'll find that he's thrown into a dungeon for something he did not do, back into another pit. But what we learn from Joseph's life is how God works in all of that. It's hard to believe, it's hard to imagine, but it's how God works in every circumstance, in every situation that we are in, if we are faithful to him. If we trust him, if we believe him, then God is faithful to us. And God is at work. Here we find Joseph has been sold into slavery and then picked up and bought by Potiphar and his household. The key here is the location where Joseph finds himself. He's in probably the last place on earth he ever thought he would be in, the last place that he wants to be in. He is a slave in the household of someone who doesn't believe in his God. Egypt at the time was full of false gods and idols. The Pharaoh himself believed himself to be a god. The name Potiphar is a name for the sun god. It's derived from the name of one of their gods. Everything about the whole environment, the whole population, the place is peppered with false gods. And here is Joseph, a believer in the one true God, who has been taken down there against his will as a slave and planted in the midst of all of this. And we would think, God wouldn't do that to us. God wouldn't put us in a place where there are false gods and there are idols and people believe all kinds of false things all around us. Would God do that? Well, we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, walking in a land where people don't believe what we believe. And at least we have each other. Joseph was all by himself. It's at this stage in the story that something in Joseph's life begins to come to the surface. Exemplary character. He's a godly young man. It's not explicitly stated in the story that way, but that's what he is. Because here's the thing. Wherever Joseph is, he wants to serve God. He's just going to be faithful to God. He's just going to be faithful to God. And here's the truth of this part of the story that we learn. You ready for this? Because he's in, let's just say this is a job that he didn't want. Anybody relate to that? He's in a job. He didn't want this job. He didn't want to be a slave in Potiphar's house. But that's where he is. And there's a truth that rises up here. You know what? God doesn't bless the job. God blesses the person in the job. And when we are faithful to him wherever we are, wherever the location, wherever the place, wherever the people we work with or live with, if we are faithful to God, God works through us. God wants to bless us. God is in our lives. And for the next few minutes, I want to pull that truth to the surface for a moment, because I believe in here, with this many people, there are some of us who just don't like our jobs. And that's how we're going to apply this morning. There's some of us in this room who've been asking God for a different job. You've been asking God for a different place. It could be that you like your job fine, but you work with terrible people. It could be that you like your job fine, but you don't like your boss. I don't know. But the location is the thing that matters. And you're thinking in your mind, I sure would like a change of some kind. I would like something to be different. Maybe that's you. I think this story applies to all of us. We can learn a lot about the way God works through Joseph's life, but we're going to hone in for the moment on the part of the story that puts Joseph at work. And that's what's underscored. That's what's emphasized. This is his job. He's a slave who rises to be household manager. What does God want us to see in that? What does God want us to learn in Joseph's life at this point? Chapter 39 and verse 2 makes this statement. The Lord was with Joseph, so he became a successful man. The Lord was with Joseph, so he became a successful man. In the Egyptian culture of that generation, centuries ago, and the American culture today, we define success the same way. Prestige, power, money, responsibility. When you look at it that way, Potiphar was the successful one in the story. He had prestige, he had power, he had money, he had influence, he had respect. He is the one that we will look at and say, wow, he was a successful man. I'd like to be like that. But he's not the one that God calls successful. See, God calls people successful not by their earthly prestige or status or power or place, but by their faithfulness to him. That's how God defines success. He can put us anywhere he wants to put us in this world to serve him if he knows we are faithful to him. And it's for that reason, the story says explicitly, God was with Joseph, and that's what made him a successful man. It's not your power or prestige that makes you successful. It's the presence of God in a faithful life. That's what God calls success. Joseph was successful at his job and in his place, as he would have been in any place, in any job, simply because God was with him, because he was faithful to God. The word translated success, and I thought, I'll dig this out. I thought, this is great. I'm going to research this and read this and dig this out and give you the nuances in the ancient language of what God means by success. Well, I got news for you. The word translated success in this story means success. That's what it means. It started out as a word that meant make progress or cut across, and eventually became, as it is in this story, a word that meant rise in prominence. Be successful. See, we're taught to think a lot of times, if we go with our culture, that success means, as we said, power, prestige, money. Or we're taught as believers to mean you don't want to be successful because that means you're sold out and you're not committed to Christ or whatever. And maybe we shouldn't even use that word. How am I successful? But you know what? God defines success for you and me by his presence and our fidelity to him. It's just that simple. And when we're working with God, when he's present with us, God will bless us. He wants to work through us. And that's what we see happening in this story. Six times in this story, in these short verses, we're either told that God is with Joseph, or that Potiphar sees that God is with Joseph. That's the key. That's the point. God is with Joseph. Why would God underscore that so much? Because the way we think, we would answer it this way. God has abandoned Joseph. God is not with Joseph because Joseph is in Egypt. Joseph is a slave. Things are going wrong for Joseph. So that means because of the place that he is, God is not with Joseph. So God is telling us over and over that you and I, when we think that way, we're wrong. God is with Joseph. God is with Joseph in that place in Egypt as a slave. Because God defines success by his presence and Joseph's faithfulness to God. Let's unpack it just a bit. I want you to consider with me some truths this morning about our work and God's blessing and God's what God does when he's with us in our work. First of all, for example, we see that God works through you to bless the place you work. That's what God wants to do. He works through you and me to bless the place. Potiphar takes note of Joseph, and he sees him as an exceptional man with exceptional management and people skills. And we're not told how much time passes, but we are told that Potiphar sees in Joseph something exceptional and raises him up in responsibility. But we're reminded this is not due to a result of Joseph's skill, but the hand of God in his life. Verse 5, from the time that he put him in charge of his household and all that he owned, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house because of Joseph. The Lord's blessing was on all that he owned in his house and in his fields. Now, you and I, that seems completely opposite of what we would think. It says explicitly that God blessed the house of this Egyptian slave owner and military and political leader. God blessed that house, meaning everything happening there, the industry of Potiphar, the family of Potiphar, the fields of Potiphar. They were blessed by the Lord God Almighty. Why is that? Because Joseph was there. Because Joseph was there. See, there's a principle at play here that even Jesus talks about. It's very simple. God brings the rain on the righteous and the evil. God lets the sun shine on the righteous and the evil. You don't walk through the day with the sun just shining on you because you're believers in Christ. Ungodly people get to enjoy the sunshine too, every day. The reason for that is that anyone born on planet Earth can work in concert with the created order of God, or they can work against it. Evil people can make money. Evil people can appear by the world standard to be success. They can build big houses. They can have a lot of stuff. Because if they work in concert with how God has created this world, it works for them. That's why when we work against God's created order, it works against us. We get disease. We get famine. We go broke. Because we've worked against the way God does things. But hear me now. That is not the same thing as God blessing evil people. God blesses His people wherever they are and whatever they're doing. Potiphar is just smart enough to recognize something's different about Joseph and puts him in charge. And God is blessing Joseph, and God's working through Joseph, and Potiphar gets to enjoy the outcome of that because Joseph is there. See, there's another principle involved here, and you and I have really got to understand this, and I sure do wish our country and our culture understood this, that believers and followers of the Lord God of the Bible and the Lord Jesus Christ are always good for the country. When we apply biblical truth and we live by biblical truth and you and I are being faithful to God, it is only a good thing for everybody else. But when our nation and our government and our workplaces start telling us you cannot serve your God here, that persecution doesn't change our relationship with God, but it is bad for the country and it is bad for the workplace. Make no mistake about it. Workplaces are blessed when you are faithful to God. God designed it that way. Why would He do that? Why would He do that? Look at the second one. God works through you to influence the people at work. Verse 3. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, Potiphar saw something happening in Joseph that he hadn't seen before. He'd never seen anyone in his life that worshiped the living God, that was faithful to a living God. And when he saw God was blessing Joseph and working through Joseph, he was smart enough to say, I'm going to give him more responsibility. I want him to do more in this household. God wants to use your faithfulness to Him and work through you in your life to influence the people around you at work. You know what the best way you can do that is? Your work ethic. The Bible says, do your work as unto the Lord and not to people. That'll change the way you view your work. Maybe you don't like the place that you're in, but you know God can use you to impact that place. And maybe you're not a fan of the people you're working with, but God can use you to influence those people. Now and then someone will say to me, well, I can't witness at work. I can't share the gospel at work. I can't witness at work because of time constraints or I might get in trouble. And I respect that. I understand that. But it's also a mistake to put it that way, because I got to tell you something, you do witness at work. You witness by your work ethic. You witness by being on time, by doing excellent work, by being committed to the job. You witness in how you behave toward those you work with, lost or saved. And I got to tell you, being saved is not an excuse for being late. It's not an excuse for taking shortcuts. Okay? You and I as believers in Christ should be the best bosses and employees on the planet. And by that, people will look at our lives and say, wow, he's different. She's different. She's not doing it just for the money. She's not trying to cut corners or get out of doing work. Oh, she's working hard. Why is she doing that? Well, you'll get an opportunity to answer that question. I almost guarantee it. You can say, well, between you and me, I'm not working for the boss. I'm working for Jesus. And I want to give him my best all the time. Your work, how you and I work, influences the people we work with. It shapes the place, and it influences the people. Because God is with you if you are faithful to him, and it will show up. He will show up. Then third, God works in you to shape the person he wants you to be. To shape the person he wants you to be. God is quiet in this story. God never speaks, but we're told over and over that God was with Joseph. And the Bible wants to remind us of that. God wants to remind us of that because we want to understand that God has bigger things in mind for Joseph. God has a place in mind for Joseph. And this is part of the journey along the way to get Joseph there. It's not in Joseph's mind the best part. But this is before he goes to prison for a while. And that's not the best part. But the beauty of it is the Bible teaches that God can use all of that to shape you in who he wants you to be. Well, who does he want you to be? Well, he wants you to be more like Jesus. He wants you to be more like Jesus in this job right now. He wants to shape you to be more like Christ every day along the way. He wants to take you on a journey to make you more like Christ. And he wants to use your skills, your gifts, who he wired you and designed you to be for his purposes. Remember, at this point, Joseph has no idea that one day he's going to be the number two man in all of Egypt. He has no idea that one day his brothers who sold him into slavery are going to come and bow down to him. He had a dream about it when he was 17, but even the interpretation of that dream, even the reality of it, is out there somewhere. He doesn't know it. All he knows right now is I'm serving as a slave in Potiphar's house, and I want to be faithful to God. That's what he knows. You and I have no idea what God is shaping and preparing us for until he starts opening those doors and showing that way. You know what God did for Joseph in this story? He developed character in Joseph, integrity in Joseph. We'll see more of that in 2 weeks. And he gave Joseph more responsibility. Gave Joseph more responsibility. Developed skills Joseph didn't even know he had. See, God is very practical. God is very practical. God knows who you are and wants to develop that part of you that he can use the most, both right now and in the days ahead. God knows what he's doing. When you and I look at the place that we are at work, the things that we're doing, sometimes we wonder, what in the world is God up to? When you look at your environment on Monday, when you go to work on Monday, and you may be one of those folks that it is just difficult for you to roll out of bed to go to that job on Monday, when you roll out and you sit up, you ask God, God, what do you want me to do today? Who are you going to bring my way today, God? Who can I influence? Who can I love a little bit for the Lord? And who does God want you to impact? Who does God want you to influence? All the time doing your work for the Lord and serving him right where you are. If you have a smartphone, there's a new app that's been developed and created. You may be on one side of it or the other. The app is called Be My Eyes. Be My Eyes. And it's been developed by a man who is visually impaired for visually impaired people to connect with sighted people. And here's how it works. Through video conferencing and a video call, a sighted person can see for the visually impaired. For example, not long ago, a young man who has the app Be My Eyes called up one of the volunteers on the other end, and he said, I need to know if the milk in my refrigerator has been expired, is expired or not. And the man said, well, open the refrigerator door, and all you do is you point the phone at it. And he heard the man say, I don't think I'd drink that milk if I were you. The people using Be My Eyes have grown and grown across the globe, and they're all excited about it. And those who are visually impaired say the biggest benefit for them is that people will see what they can't see and tell them what's there. You ever thought about how God works in your life? Remember that God sees what you don't see. God knows what you don't know. God knows every person and seen every heart, every person you interact with at work, at play, at leisure, in your family. God knows what they've been doing that day. God knows where their heart is. God knows if they're almost ready to be saved, and it'll just take a moment with you. God knows all these things. God sees what you and I do not see. So let's trust God. Let's trust God with our work. Let's trust God with our relationships. Let's trust God that when we get up in the morning to go to work, God knows that we are there. God has put us there so that we will influence that place and those people. God is shaping you to be the person He wants you to be. Right now and down the road, He wants you and I to be more like Christ. So today, would we make a commitment? Would we say, God, I want to listen to Your voice. You tell me Your will, You tell me Your way, and I will follow the path You have for me. Would we make that commitment today? Would we make a commitment to get up tomorrow morning and say, God, I work for You, and I'll be in this place for You. So God, bless the place I work, because I just want to be faithful to You. Could we do that tomorrow? Make that decision today. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? I want to pray for us, and just going to pray for you. If you're one of those particular people and you feel like I've been talking about you, heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around, because I want to ask you a question. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you're one of those particular people and it just really rings true that your place of work is what we need to pray about today. Those relationships, those people. And you say, Pastor Bob, pray for me, because tomorrow morning I get up, I go back to that place of work, and I really need to remember God is there, and God knows where I am, and God knows what I'm doing. I want to pray for you right now. Would you lift your hand up? Good. Thank you. Thank you. Heavenly Father, You see these hands that have gone up, God. You know our hearts. You know the difficulty, Father, the burden of getting up and going to a job, God, where it's just hard to work there. Maybe it's the language. Maybe it's the comments. Maybe it's the personalities. Maybe it's the boss. Maybe the whole environment. Father, it's just hard to go to work there, God. Father, for each of us who raised our hands right now, I ask, God, You lift that burden from our shoulders. You lift that concern. You lift that hurt and that struggle, Father. And Father, in its place, put the joy of serving You. Put the joy of serving You, God, that we would do our work for You, Father, that tomorrow when we work, God, our eyes would be open to what You see. We want to see You at work around us. So, Father, now, for each of us who raised our hands, I pray, God, You would use us in that workplace according to Your desire. Help us to be faithful to You. Help us, God, not to contribute to the negative environment, but instead to serve You faithfully, Father. Help us, God, to lead someone to Christ there. Open our eyes, God, to those who need Jesus, that we can pray for them. Help us, God, to be compassionate to those who are hurting. Help us, God, to understand, to have a vision for the fact that it's bigger than us, God, that You have us there for a reason. And Father, show us that reason. So Father, I lift up all those who raise their hands today, God, and we entrust our jobs to You. And praise You, God, and thank You for putting us there. And Father, whatever we're doing, God, those who raise their hands and those who have not, Father, we want to commit our lives, our jobs, our families, our work week, our schedule. We want to commit all these things to You. You're a sovereign God who sees what we do not, who knows the way, Father, who understands what You want to do in our lives. So, God, forgive us where we have complained about things, God, rather than entrusting them to You. And this morning, Father, I just pray, God, all of us would entrust those things to You, Father, and trust You, God, with the direction we're going and the lives that we have. Father, I pray for that one or two in here who needs Christ as their Savior, that, God, today they'd be saved. I pray for those believers, Father, who need to come to the altar and unburden themselves and themselves, their relationships, their jobs, God, all these things, they need to give that to you today. I pray for those who need to join fellowship with this church, who need to take another step of faith, God, and make that commitment public. You know who we are and what we're doing, God. So in this moment, Father, we want to respond wholly to you, God, completely to you, to commit ourselves to Christ today. And it's in his precious name we pray. Amen. Stand with me. If God is with you.